I start with two stories that I've been occupied with, happened in my job. A few years ago, a young lady came in, 32 years old. She was in neuro ICU, very sick. I had some chat with her a little bit. She refuses God at all. She was Italian and German, I believe, and she has no God in her life. Then a few weeks later, they transfer her to surgical intensive care unit. Her stage is just going down, and they ordered a chest x-ray for her. I went and I did it. She looked at me, and somehow she told me there's no hope. When I spoke to the nurse, she told me she probably would be dying today. Then I left her. She said, no hope. Then I left her, and when I left, took my x-ray, and then I left, I told the Lord Jesus, if you will that I speak to this lady about you and yourself, let me go back to her. I'm just praying to the Lord, and they just put in the system that they need an abdomen x-ray for her. I just grabbed the abdomen, and I went back to her, and I told her, would you like to pray to the Lord Jesus? She said, no. I don't want to pray to her. I left. The next day, she died with no hope for the person. A few weeks ago, an older lady came in. She has a lung cancer that's all over her body, 72 years old. The woman started talking about Montefiore Hospital in the Bronx, how good, and they saved her life. I told her, we don't save lives. The only one who saves lives is the Lord Jesus, is God. She told me, who is God? I didn't know God. I stopped there because you can't really force your medical, in the medical field, you can't force your opinion and say as much about what you believe to the patients. They can stop you there. It's illegal, so we have to obey the rules. But in my head, I went, I shot the first x-ray. I said to myself, Lord Jesus, if you want me to say something and open the door for me, let her continue talking about who is God. Let open up the conversation. So I went back to the room, and the woman is, do you think I have hope? I told her, why you think you do not have hope? She was like, I didn't know. And in Montefiore, they did such and so, and this is a great hospital. I told her, you may need to stop trusting hospitals and doctors. They have a book, they have a chart, they go by it. Doesn't go the way it goes, they're probably gonna give up. That's it. They have a curriculum that they go with. That's it. They're not really a lifesaver. They help, they're tools that the Lord uses. She said, who is God? My mom never told me about God. I told her about the Lord Jesus. She started crying, and then told me, I never knew who God, I'm 72 years old. Now you told me how God loves me. I don't know if I have hope, but I will never forget what you told me. So let's open Romans 5, see how is the believer different than someone else, why we have hope. Romans 5, we'll read the first 11 verses. Therefore, having been justified on the principle of faith, we have peace towards God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have also access by faith into his favor, in which we stand, and we boast in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in tribulations, knowing that tribulation works endurance, and endurance experience, and experience hope. And hope does not make ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. For we, being still without strength in the due time, Christ has died for the ungodly. For scarcely for the just man will one die, for perhaps for the good man someone might also dare to die. But God commends his love to us, in that we, being still sinners, Christ has died for us. Much rather, therefore, having been now justified in the power of his blood, we shall be saved by him from wrath. For if being enemies, we have been reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much rather, having been reconciled, we shall be saved in the power of his life. Just before we start with Romans 5, the place of Romans 5, how the Apostle Paul got to Romans 5 and say, therefore, having been justified. Not just, did it just happen this way? Book of Romans, it has, as most of the epistles, has introduction and ending. The first 18 verses are the introduction. From chapter 1, 18 to 3, 20, the Apostle Paul presents about seven different categories of men. He speak of every category they had a chance to know God. Every category had the possibility to know and to know that there's God, but they chose not to know God. All failed. And he comes into conclusion in chapter 3. He says they all, seven categories, all people, seven, number seven means complete. So all fell short of the glory of God. Whoever you are, gay, lesbian, different category that you sit, you all fell short of the glory of God. Then he talks about the need of justification. Why and how we can be just. Chapter 4 and the end of the half of chapter 3, from verses 21 and to the end of chapter 3 and chapter 4 talks about how we've been justified. The means that we've been justified. It's by the Lord Jesus, and it's by faith. The Lord, justification didn't just happen that because I am a lad and my father is a big well-known person, that justification will be void. It wouldn't be very solid. It didn't happen because I have a lot of money and I can go and buy my justification. That's also not a justification that God will accept. Also not by works, because he just declared all fell short of the glory of God. It has to be done by the blood of the Lord Jesus. He had to go to the cross and die and pay for our sins and for the honor of God's glory. His justice has to be also maintained. I recall in Exodus 12, God. See, before you go Exodus, the sin had came to the world and created two different problems. The first problem is an enmity between me and God. That's enmity. The second problem is me and the other people around me. It is an enmity. In Exodus 12, we can see this. Exodus 12, God said, the blood will be a sign for you. I will pass. I see the blood and I will pass over you. This Jewish people, they were living in the land of Egypt. If they did not have, God did not say, I will pass over the land of Egypt and I will skip you and I only will smite the Egyptians. He said, I will pass through Egypt. If you have the blood, I will pass. If you Jewish, you did not have the blood, your firstborn will be killed. If you Egyptian and you had the blood, your firstborn will be saved. So God said, I will pass through the land of Egypt. Not only I'm not going to only spare the Jewish through the general judgment. God will pass through it. That's God's dealing with sin. It happened in the midnight. They say that God in the midnight came with judgment and on the Egyptians. And you know the Egyptians, they were under bondage. The first book, the first two or three chapters says that the Jewish, they were under bondage. And the Egyptians, they embittered them with hard work and with their life was miserable. Yes, maybe these days we don't have someone to embitter our life in slavery. But we do have different feelings that we feel for because of sin. We have fear and we have depression and we have things that affect us, sickness that will affect us, that we will feel shaky and we will feel under bondage. And we, because that's sin what it brought to our lives. And then the people in Egypt, they were saved from the sin. God delivered them. He did not deliver them through Moses, what he had to do with frogs and turning the water to blood and things. But God, he said, this is my night. It's a Jehovah's night. Salvation from sin, it has to be done by Jehovah, not by someone that Jehovah is using. It has to be done by himself. In Exodus 12, they saved from bondage of Egypt, of the sin of that was kept them serving sin, their master, the sin. But then they say that they worshipped. But after worship, they go to Exodus 14. Exodus 14, we see a different issue. We see they have the sea in the front. We have the enemy in the back. This is the other aspect of the sin. The enemy is attacking you. You save from sin, but still the enemy is attacking. They still need salvation. They didn't know what to do. Moses told them, be still. stay still and see the salvation of Jehovah. Again, it has to be done by Jehovah. In Exodus 12, they can't say Jehovah is my God because he's still not his. He's gonna go through the land of Egypt and kill all the firstborn there, regardless you're Jewish or not, but depends if you have the blood or not. So they can't claim Jehovah is my God. Exodus 14, they can. Exodus 14, the morning comes in. That reminds you with the ending of Romans 4. Delivered for our offenses. This is the night when the lamb was slaughtered. Delivered for our offenses. The morning comes and rose for our justification. This is Exodus 14. It is the morning. It says in the morning, they saw what? The bodies of the Egyptians. They floating on the surface of the water. When did it happen? In the morning. So we do thank the Lord that Jehovah's night, he has to be, he has to deal with the sin. For our justification, for our enemies, it was in the morning. He rose for us. So we're standing in the ground where our Lord is risen. So that's who we belong to. I do imagine when this a Jewish person who were under bondage, standing there still, and he sees this captain, whoever was, kicking him and mocking him, just floating on the shore. He looked at him, this is the person who was embittered me and my life was miserable because of him. But look what Jehovah has done for me. He made him to float in front of me. What a feeling. That's why they can go and sing in Exodus 15, that my God is my salvation, and all the song that they start with. Jehovah, he, all the chariots that he, I don't even know the song that's by heart, but they had to sing. And now they can own him as God. Now he is my Jehovah. He died for me and he rose for me. And now I am standing. Therefore, we all can say now, we are on the shore standing. We can say, therefore, having been justified. Now this is our morning. We have been justified. So we're not standing in a ground where sure about our thing. We are being justified. So justification on the principle of faith. Faith, you can understand it with few aspects to it. Faith is what gives me access to God. And faith is that I believe in something that is unseen, true. But faith is also that I don't believe in my works, in myself. I believe only in the work of God. This feelings of justification doesn't depend on my how do I feel in my faith. Sometimes my faith, I feel that spiritually I am low, that I'm not very encouraged. But that doesn't take away my justification, where I'm standing, the peace towards God. It's not something happened because of, we say it happens because of the work of the Lord Jesus. So regardless of your feelings, your emotions, if you feel high spiritually, oh, I am so good, I'm in a communion with the Lord, yeah, and then that doesn't mean that you are in high standing more than a brother who is probably feeling low. We all stand in the same ground. This is not has to do anything with your feelings. One time I heard a story about a king who has a lot of land, and one of the in the country, one of his leaders, he heard he's gonna rebel against him. So he went, he sent soldiers and he grabbed him. He took him to that person. And the people loved that person that he wanted to cut. So they start shouting, oh, free him, free him. This person who is guilty, he felt so good. Oh, the people is around me. They're feeling good. I'm feeling good. They want me. He gonna spare my life. He felt so encouraged. When he went to the trial, he was killed. Mm-hmm. Regardless of his feelings, he was still guilty. And he still got the judgment of to be put to death. So justification doesn't have anything to do with your feeling, my feeling. We stand on a ground. And this ground is the resurrection of the Lord. Now, because of trials and we're talking about, and it says, and tribulation works endurance, and endurance is experience. For the natural man, it doesn't apply. A natural man, tribulation will not work endurance. The natural man, it will work a different thing than endurance and experience. But with the Lord, if we understand that when we go through things, he wants us to learn more, to be more as a character that we build, more spiritually build, and we more stronger, then that will give me hope. And that's hope that we have, is a hope of the glory of God, that we gonna go and be with Him. He's gonna appear and gonna take Him. When we hold of all that truth, then His, we know that He died for us, then His love, then the love of God is shed abroad in our life, in our hearts. Then our, when I take my eyes off myself and of my tribulation, of everything, and I know that they are working for my own experience, God is working it, but He's in control of it, and He's working it for me, that I will be built and more as in a character strong in my faith, then I will appreciate His love towards me more. Then if my heart will just only flow with love towards the Lord, and I will have hope. So that's what the unbeliever doesn't have. They will put their trust in doctors and in medical staff and things that are in the world. But yes, they are knowledgeable, they know, but they're limited. But we have a God that He's not limited. He dealt in Exodus 12 with our past sins. Now He also deals with our tribulation. And in the future, we have hope that He's going to come to us. So this is the God that we belong. Sin will create fear. The first thing that sin created in man is fear. Look at Adam. Adam told God, I heard your voice and I feared. Oh, Adam, since when you fear God? Why do you fear God? Ah, because of the sin that I did. I fear God. Look at Jacob. Jacob, God told him, I will be with you. Go back to your country, to your kindred. I will be with you. Even Laban, I believe Laban came in and God told him, don't talk to him neither good or bad. He is my child. This is how God will treat you and me. He will tell us, don't talk to him good or bad. Don't even like come to, you know what, just go tell them that that God loves him. Or tell them that we're going to have peace and that's it. But don't say anything. Don't do anything wrong to him. Still, Jacob, the one that God promised him to go to his land and he's gonna be with him, when he heard Esau, his brother, is coming, he feared. Well, but what you fear, Jacob, God just told you that because he's not looking as still at God. He's looking at the circumstances of Esau, at Laban, what they're gonna do to me. But God promised, you stand in a ground where I'm gonna take you there. So, but in the end of Jacob's life, when he had to learn from his experience, tribulation, to go to the experience and endurance and all that, he knew how much God loved him. And he could go to Pharaoh in the end and tell him, the God that I serve, you know, and such and so, and give him a preaching about the God that he served. He could go to Pharaoh and bless Pharaoh, not asking for Pharaoh to bless him. Oh, but all that fear, that's what will cause sin. What the first thing will cause is fear in the believer's life. And fear will happen because of this sin. What I'm trying to say is, if we have communion with God and we sin is not taking a part of our lives, we will have no fear when we go through tribulation. We have no, because we have the love of God. We have the communion with God will not, I'm not talking about affecting our standing, but our feelings. How we feel now towards God. That's what I'm switching to Philippians 4, when Apostle Paul he understood this. In Philippians 4, I will read the verses, because there's another piece in Philippians 4 that he's talking about our feelings and what would interrupt our feelings in the time of tribulation. So Philippians 4, if we open it, verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, and I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known of all men. The Lord is near. Be careful about nothing, but in everything be by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses every understanding, shall guard your heart and your thoughts by Christ Jesus. So he is saying the peace of God. But for me to maintain not peace towards God, we spoke about this in Romans. That's something that we cannot do anything about it. The Lord has to come and do it for us. We stand in a ground, we in a peaceful terms with Him. He is on my side. In Philippians 4, he's talking about the peace of God. that will be maintained by supplication and by request of prayers. So if you don't maintain that kind of a relationship with the Lord Himself, you might lose the peace of God. What do you mean by losing the peace of God? Losing that feel of the God is guiding you. Unless we judge the sin in our life, then you can actually have the guidance from God when you go through tribulation, and then you will have the peace of God. When you go through it, you know that you feel peaceful. You know what? That's what Apostle Paul understood. He said in Romans 8, who shall separate us from the love of God? In Philippians, he says, rejoice. He knew the love of God. He knew where he stands. He goes through a prison. He is about to be killed from Nero, I believe, who opened up his womb mom to see where he came from. That's how brutal he was. He about to face that person. And that is a brutal person. But he says, rejoice in the Lord. Because why? Because he had communion with the Lord. Nothing could stop him. His peace of God is dwelling within him, because he knows he is standing in a peaceful ground towards God. He knows that all what is working for him is towards God. That's why he can say, for me to live is Christ. This is an apostle where he, all what he did is a communion. That's what I'm trying to say. We all go through different things. We all go through different tribulation in our life. Yes, I am not Jacob. I'm not Abraham. But I am a child of God. And you are a child of God. Abraham never knew the love of God. He knew the mighty God. And he knew that he's mighty and he is able to save his son. And he put faith in that. But we know more than that. We know that the love of God. Some people will tell you, well, if I, one guy, he is Christian. The other day, I came walking through the department. I thought someone is rapping, you know, listening to rap at 7 o'clock in the morning and rapping. I have no idea. I just walked in. This guy is on the phone, closing his eyes, talking. I have no idea what he was saying. He's speaking. He's a priest, and he's talking to one of his church members. So I talked to him. He like, what you were talking? What you were saying to this woman? He's like, that if she is not in the good of what God wants her to be, then she will lose his love. And then, but Romans 5 says nothing. How if he died for the ungodly and he loved you then, and he died for you, how he will not love you now when you are a child of God? Now you are in a higher ground. Before we were sinners, and yet he still died for me. Now I am saved. I am his child. Yes, I do err sometimes. I do things that not according to his mind. But his love to me will never fail. When I was a sinner, he died for me. How come when I be his child? What he will do for me? He will have this soldier floating on the shore, and I will look at him and will say, praise God, and say the hallelujah for him. The main thing is, let's just, if we have anything stop us from having a communion with him, maybe we can pray for him. Keep praying with supplication and ask him for everything you need and you want. And you know that you're standing in a ground that you are saved. And the ground that you're standing is not according to your feelings or my feelings. It's a ground that God has maintained, and He the basis of that ground. So He will do anything for His children. He said, I believe in John, 1 John, as He is, we are. Something at first like this, that He will look at us and He will see Christ in us. So when He looks at me and you and everyone that He believes in the Lord, He sees Christ and He loves Christ. The minute that he fails to love Christ, then the minute he will fail to love you. So encourage yourself and be strong and keep yourself in the word of God, that whatever you go through, that you may be encouraged, and the peace of God will not only shed in your life, but also be going around for other people around you, tell you how you are a believer, how you can go through this, and yet you praise God, and how can that person, when you go to tribulation, he will be cursing God. Because then you tell them about what God has done for you. In his blessed name.
Amen. Amen.